Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at ccbci.org.
He will guide us. He will speak that still small voice. So often I hear people say, I haven't heard God.
Are you born again? You've heard God's voice.
I haven't heard God. I just can't recognize His voice. Well, do you ever get convicted of sin?
God's voice.
He's there. He speaks. He's faithful. We just have to learn to recognize it.
Come and see what God has done. Come and sing of His great love. Come and hear the story of God's own Son. As we hear the pages turn, journey through the Word.
Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
If you're visiting today, what we do on Sunday mornings is we go through the New Testament. On Wednesday nights, we go through the Old Testament. We've just finished the book of Genesis, and then we will go into the book of Exodus. But we're going to take a few weeks here as we go through the holidays and have some special teaching on Wednesday night. And this Wednesday night, Ed, who leads us here in worship, is going to have a time where he's going to instruct us from his heart concerning worship. Worship is a very important part of our gathering together. We do this on purpose to have times where we just can disconnect from the world and we can give Him praise. So much is about our lives as we receive, and that's good, but we get to give to others, and Ed's going to talk about that too. The Wednesday after that, Holly is going to share with us too about a topic that's very important on his heart. And so, God good? He truly is. Now, I want to start our message today by emphasizing that what we will find in Scripture today is life-changing. Not that any other scripture is not life-changing, but this is an area of scripture that causes us to understand the reality of our walk, our lives with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and our relationship with the Father. It's a powerful section of scripture. We're going to start out in Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. We'll go through the end of this chapter, but we're also going to look at Romans chapter 7, and we'll close it up with some comparisons of what we've been going through here since we started the book of Galatians. Now, it's very important that we understand a principle that is taking place in our life. We have needs as human beings. You know, we need food, we need air, we need so many other things. We learn very quickly to recognize our needs and do everything we can to meet those needs. We tend to do that. In a spiritual sense, it's very important that we understand that we have needs today. And the Scripture will meet those needs. Totally. It's a promise in Scripture. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So if we want to grow in our faith, we get into the Word of God. Naturally, we want to do that. But to walk in the truth that we find in Scripture, there's something that we need to learn that is vital. And it's that Scripture is true. We make a stand that God said it. I don't have to believe it. A lot of times people go, God said it, I believe it, so it's in it, that does it. Really, it's God says it, it's done at that point. Now, we get the privilege of walking in the truth of what He said. But how we do that is important. We look and find a need in our life. For instance, may I develop the need of salvation, the need of salvation. Yesterday, we were at a memorial service. The person passed away. The need, as in her life, is the need that is in our lives, that we would have eternal life so that when we pass from this life, which each and every one of us will do, then we can go to be with God in heaven. That's a need that's in our lives. It's always there. It's been there since we've been born. It's been there since Adam and Eve, passed down from generation to generation. And so that need is there for every single human being, every person. It's there. Now, there are those that recognize that need and say, there's an answer. There's a way that need can be fulfilled. It's through Jesus Christ, that he came. God said he loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. So what we do is we look and understand our need, eternal life. I want to go to heaven. Then we embrace the truth of Scripture, and the answer is there for us. And here comes the important thing. We see our need, we see the answer, but we've got to take it and make it become our own. Called appropriation. We make it our own. Today, how many know that if they passed away today, they would go to be with the Lord in heaven? Saw a need, saw the truth of Scripture, and you made it your own. Now, we're going to look at scriptures here that are very important that come to us after salvation. And we're going to go through here and we're going to see needs, the reality of the need that is in our life, because it's right here in Scripture. And you guys will be able to relate to this need. You'll understand it because you live it as I live it. And then what makes the difference so often in our lives, whether we walk a troubled walk with God or we walk a victorious walk with God, is whether we see and understand our need, recognize the Scripture that addresses that need, and then we appropriate it into our life in such a way it becomes ours. Ours. And we walk in it and through it, and it guides us, and it makes us think about things, and it changes our lives in a radical way. So join with me here in verse 16 of chapter 5, and we're just going to go through, we're going to observe this, and we're going to go to Romans chapter 7, we're going to observe that. We'll come back and go briefly through each verse. And I guarantee you, the subject here is a beautiful subject. It's a wonderful subject, but it is also very, if I can say, there's plenty of depth in this reality. The more that we study it, I know the more we will grow in it. Paul said in verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not, promise, fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lust against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. That's a reality. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works are the fruit of the flesh. This is what our flesh will produce: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. In other words, there's many more, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, Paul warned them before, that those who practice, those who have a habitual lifestyle, practice such things, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Promise, reality, that can shake us up. We're going to talk about that just a little bit here. But the fruit, here's the opposite of the Spirit, what God produces in our life, not what the flesh produces, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Contrast, right? Big contrast. Dark, light. We just see the contrast here. Verse 24, and those, speaking of us, who are Christ's, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, how can that be, Lord? I find inside of me, I have passions and I have desires. And you say, it has been, because there is a work in Christ that is completed. It's totally completed for you and I. And we're growing in our understanding of how to walk in it and how complete that work is for each and every one of us. We'll talk about that more. If we live, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And then Paul comes back and contrasts a little bit again with fleshly things. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Now go with me to Romans. Keep your finger there. Romans chapter 7. It is impossible in 35 minutes to go totally in depth in these truths. But I want to present them to you that you might study them even more so in your life. Paul in verse 12 of chapter 7 begins to develop something that explains to us why certain things happen in our lives. He says in verse 12, therefore the law is holy, it's holy, and the commandment holy, and it's just and good. Has then, a question comes out, what is good become death to me? Certainly not. Has this law become death to me in a sense that it's no good? No, it's good, it's perfect, it has a purpose as we've been studying. But sin, he goes right to the issue inside of our lives, but sin, that it might appear sin was producing death in me through what is good, through the law, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. What is sin? It's simply missing the mark that God has established. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual. The law is good. The law has a purpose that God has given it. But I am carnal. I'm fleshly. And I'm actually sold under sin. When did that begin in my life? It began with Adam and Eve. It's been passed through from generation to generation. And so when you and I were born, when conception happened in our mother's womb, right there, that which sin was started with Adam and Eve has been passed on, and guess what? Passed on to us. And so that reality is there. I am carnal. Outside of Christ, left alone outside of Christ, I am fleshly. I am sold under sin, Paul says in verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, I do not practice. What I hate, that's what I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that the law is good. The law is good, but now, verse 17, it is no longer I who do it, but what? Sin that dwells in me. Now, this is not giving us an excuse to go on in sin. It's helping us recognize what's going on in our lives. Why are we drawn to these evil passions? Why are these difficulties there in our lives? Because sin dwells in you and I. Paul is just calling a spade a spade. He's saying the reality is it's sin. Doesn't give us permission to live this life. Paul is not saying this is the life I live. He's not saying I live above this 100%. He's saying there is a battle. Two realities, what he's presenting. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. There's nothing good in my flesh. There's nothing. Nothing means what? Nothing. And so Paul's telling us, stop trying to improve the flesh. And we do that so much because we want so much to please the Lord. We want to be good Christians. We want to be empowered by God's Holy Spirit. But it will not come by us trying to improve the flesh. The flesh is 100% in opposition to the Spirit of God. As we see in Galatians there, it wars against each other. That's how powerful the flesh is. The ability to choose is a powerful thing. Vi and I last week had an opportunity to sit with somebody that doesn't go to this church, and we were there in a counseling situation, and I just simply realized this person is at a crossroads. Crossroads. This person can choose to walk in the Spirit, and there's going to be certain fruit of that, or they can choose to walk in the flesh, and there's going to be certain fruit of that. Unfortunately, this person has gone the way of the flesh, and seeing and I'm hearing the fruit of the flesh. That's how powerful. Crossroads. I said, what you need to do, honestly, because it was a woman, and I just said, you need to get close to this woman right here, pointing to Vi, because I trust Vi. She knows the word and all that. She's a wise woman. Draw close to her. She's willing to be with you. She's willing to get in the word. She's willing to do that. Do that. Do that. You're at a crossroads. You have a choice, unfortunately, the other way. It's a dangerous thing we have, this thing called the freedom of choice. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, verse 18 again, nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. I don't find in my flesh. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I will not to do, that's what I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me. It's right there, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God in my spirit, according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. That's the battle. Anybody go, amen, I understand it? It's there. And then Paul goes right to the heart of the matter in verse 24. He says, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Contrast, reality, both are true. Which one are we going to walk after? And then he goes into verse 1, and I'm so thankful. He goes into the victory that is found through the power of the Holy Spirit. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh." He wasn't sinful, but in flesh he came on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to who? The Spirit of God. Victory and power, go back to Galatians chapter 5, is there for us. Paul's not giving us permission to live our lives there. Oh no, we would not want to do that. But he's sharing with us the reality, because we do live in this life today. We still are in these bodies, that there's going to be this warfare, and it's guaranteed it will go on, and it's constant. And it's amazing. Some things when we accept Jesus Christ disappear immediately. When I accepted the Lord, I no longer had a sailor's mouth. It disappeared. Accepted the Lord, I no longer had a desire to drink. It disappeared. In 40-some years, I don't know if I've said a cuss word. Have I, honey? She don't know. I don't think I have. I have no desire. It's not there. I know that I haven't had a drink, except that one time I took communion and they tricked me. It was wine. No desire whatsoever. Nothing about me. It's an example. It's a witness to me. It's possible I will never be perfected until I'm out of this body and I'm with the Lord. But it's possible that as I grow in the Lord and as I understand my need, I see the truth in Scripture and I appropriate it to my life, that God can give me victory. Some victory total, just when I accepted the Lord. Other victory, bits by bits by bits by bits. And then they fall off. I'm no longer as frustrated as I used to be over things. Even when that person's going 55 in a 70-mile-an-hour zone. Might be telling a little lie there. God good?
It's good.
He really is. Paul spent all this time teaching us about the flesh and the law. He's been teaching us about the Spirit and grace. Very important we would understand that. But look at verse 16, verse 18, and verse 25. He tells us three things that are important, and I want to emphasize this as we go through this message. In verse 16, he says, "Walk in the Spirit." He's telling us it's possible to walk in the Spirit. What does that look like? It means to conduct oneself. It is an ongoing walking. He can walk hand in hand with the third person of the triune God who dwells inside of us, and he will be faithful to speak to us. He is more than powerful, and he enables us to have victory over the flesh. There in verse 18, it says, "Be led by the Spirit." That means to be guided, and it means to keep on being guided. He will guide us. He will speak that still small voice. So often I hear people say, "I haven't heard God." Are you born again? Well, you've heard God's voice. "I haven't heard God. I just can't recognize his voice." Well, do you ever get convicted of sin? God's voice. He's there. He speaks. He's faithful. We just have to learn to recognize it. And there in verse 25, not only do we walk in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, but we live. We have our being. It means to be alive. It means to be well in the Spirit of God. Boy, thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you've done. "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of flesh? I thank God through Christ my Lord." Amen? Amen. Notice verse 16 again. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." We could sit and have Bible study after Bible study after, and it would be good that time. And I encourage you to go word by word, verse by verse, and allow the Holy Spirit to instruct you in your life. What does it look like to walk in the Spirit? Because I guarantee you, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Look at the amplified version on this verse 16 on the screen there. It says, but I say, walk and live habitually in the Holy Spirit. Responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit, then you will certainly not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh of human nature without God. They're always going to be there. They come out in similar ways in our lives. They come out in different ways there in our lives. But they're always going to be there until we're out of these bodies and we're with the Lord. Romans chapter 6, verse 12, Paul says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. There's a choice that we can make. Verse 17, look at that again. For the flesh lust, here's reality. The flesh lust, they're diametrically opposed against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. It doesn't mean that the Spirit is defeated by the flesh. No, there's just this battle that goes on. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. That's the battle that we have. In verse 17, Paul contrasted the sinful flesh and its desires with the Spirit and God's works. These are constantly clashing with each other. The Greek word translated lust perhaps is better understood as strong desires. What the sinful flesh, man, in his faithfulness, desires is the opposite of what the Spirit working in the believer's heart desires. If a man chooses to do what is evil, the Spirit opposes this. If he chooses to do what is good, the sinful flesh seeks to hinder it. That's all that he's saying. There's a battle that rages there. He goes on in verse 18, he says, but led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I go, praise the Lord. If you walk, if you live in the Spirit, you will be empowered by the Spirit and you will be guided by the Spirit. To walk by the Spirit means freedom from the power of sin. Sin and the devil have lost their power over the believer. It's an amazing thing. This battle that rages, Paul's not again saying this is where we are to live. He's just saying this is the battle. But there is a way through that. In Romans chapter 6, verse 14, Paul said, for sin shall not have dominion over you. That's a promise. For you're not under law, but under grace. That's why Paul's spending so much time with the Galatians. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You've begun so well, but now you've gone another path. You've moved away from the truth and the reality of the Holy Spirit. And they've chosen the fruit of the flesh. Look at verses 19, 20, and 21. Now the works of the flesh, the fruit of the flesh, are evident, which are adultery, fornication, sexual immorality, uncleanness, impurity, that you see there, lewdness, indecency, idolatry, substitute for true worship of God. This is all of the flesh. Sorcery, witchcraft, drug usage, hatred, contentions. That's strife or discord. Don't ever bring strife or discord into people's lives or your own. Jealousies, we understand that. Outbursts of wrath, it's a very strong word. Fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, that's divisions. Heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, that's carousing, or orgies is actually, it could be translated. And the like, other sins not mentioned above. He said, and then he goes on and he says, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, I told you before, and I'm telling you again, that those who practice, we're looking at a habitual lifestyle, such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. A lot of times this challenges a Christian that doesn't understand, has not studied this truth. It doesn't mean that there's not a battle. We're Christians, there's a battle. And then because there's a battle, these things, you know, 2 Corinthians tells us, chapter 10, about strongholds. There's certain strongholds that are in our life. They're similar because they're the works of the flesh, but they're very specific to us. We're tempted in different areas in many, many ways. So he's not saying that we're above that. That's part of the life. But he's talking about people that become habitually given over. It becomes their lifestyle. Paul warned about this in Romans chapter 1. There was strike 1, strike 2, and strike 3. Strike 3 was the reprobated life. A person that would be totally... had come to a point to totally deny the Lord. They would never, ever, as long as they existed on this planet, would never, ever give their heart to the Lord. And there's people walking on this earth that are living that life today. God's given them opportunity, they rejected. God's given them another opportunity, and they rejected. And God gives a lot of opportunity. But in these three areas, it's a lot of study, a lot of good things that are in there, but it's a potential. A person comes to the point that they're habitually giving over to a life of sin. And at that point, all that Jesus has done, the voice of the Holy Spirit, the love of God, will not have an effect on their lives anymore. It's a dangerous place. You have not committed that sin. You are here today, hearing the truth of the Word of God. Be encouraged. God is working in your life. There might be a struggle. Yes, you have this, you know, and all of that. You know, you see that red Corvette. Why do I always go to a red Corvette? You know, and you really want that, and it's a struggle. It's not for you, but it's a struggle. That's the only example I can think of, you know. Look on the screen, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. Paul addressed it in another way. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, or homosexuals, or sodomites, or thieves, or covetous, those that are covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. This is who we were before, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Praise the Lord. God's made a change in our lives. Those who practice such things, those that are given over, those that have come to a place and that's their life. It's a dangerous thing. Somebody comes up to me and says, I'm a Christian. I'm a born-again Christian, and I love Jesus. But then I'd hear and observe their life, and they're given over to the works of the flesh in such a way, it's their lifestyle. I can't judge that person. I have to leave it in God, but I can discern and question what is going on. The reality doesn't seem to be there. And notice what he says, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those people who habitually practice such things will not obtain salvation. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, it's on the screen here. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices, notice that word, practice, lifestyle, righteousness is righteous, just as God is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest, that he was revealed, that he, the Son of God, might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. There is not a habitual sinning, for his seed remains in him. The seed of the Holy Spirit remains in him, of God remains in him. He cannot sin, habitual practice of that sin. Because why? He has been born of God. Praise the Lord. It's a reality. And again, in 35 minutes, I can't go into great depth on this, but I love the contrast. Let's get there real quick. Verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, against such there is no, what? No law. Wonderful. Wonderful. First fruit is love. This is self-serving, self-sacrificing love, which has its source in Christ's self-giving love, which resulted in salvation for all of mankind. That's what we have. The second and third fruits are joy, gladness, and peace. The next fruit is long-suffering. That's patience. God works this patience in our life. We're not always patient, but he's working it out in our lives. Gentleness. There's goodness. There's faithfulness. Gentleness, pointing to meekness. Strength under God's control, self-control, the controlling of human desires. Against such there is no law. Why? Because Jesus kept the law. He fulfilled the law for sinful man. Again, praise the Lord. The work has been completed. It's there. We must see our need. We must see the Scripture. We must recognize it as truth. We must appropriate it into our life. And by the power of the Holy Spirit and the completed work of Jesus on the cross, we walk in it and it becomes ours more and more and more. We won't be perfected. Some will disappear, like I gave examples of my drinking and my cussing and all that. Disappear totally. Praise the Lord. I just love that. But it's an example to me in the other areas that it can disappear as I continue to appropriate the truth and make it my own in that way. And look at verse 24, and he says, those who are Christ have crucified, have the tense, that's the work of Christ. They have, those who are Christ have the work of Christ in our life, crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. What a wonderful truth. In Romans 6:6, it says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with God, with Christ, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. It's done. Again, I know it's a lot, but we must study these things. And he wraps it up by saying, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The Amplified Version gives us a further insight to that. It'll be on the screen right now. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verses 4 through 5. Look on the screen there. Paul says this, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk, according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, in other words, set their mind on the things of the Spirit. The power of choice that is inside of you and I. One will lead us to a life that battles all the time as Christians, the flesh. Another one will lead us to, yes, a battle, but one where the Holy Spirit is victorious in our lives. As you have no doubt realized, as we have been studying the book of Galatians, Paul, an under-shepherd to Jesus Christ, has been time and time again challenging the people to turn from trying to complete in the flesh what was begun in the Spirit. Simply put, it has been an issue of walking under the law of works versus walking by grace alone. It's a completed work. It's all there for you and I. Not easy. And I'm not saying that if you don't feel perfected right now that you're bad, 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 because I am not perfected. You're not looking at a perfected person. I'm not looking at anybody out there that's perfected either. It's not possible. Until we're out of here, and someday we're with Jesus Christ, and we have a new life in Him. Then, sin is gone. Praise the Lord. It's a reality. Now, I'm going to go through something very quick. And on the website, we'll put it up there this week. Brett, are you in here? Okay. So, Brett will put this up. And it's not mine. It's funny in the first service how many people came up and wanted to take a picture of it so they could have it, and it wasn't mine. And I said to them, you guys never come up and want to take a picture of my other notes when it's mine. Oh, well. There's a man named Chuck Missler. He's gone to be with Jesus this year. And he taped listening to about this subject. He gave this list of 20 things. You guys got time for 20 things? We'll close in prayer. Watch the contrast. He first doesn't start out with a contrast, but he gets where he's contrasting the law from grace with grace. Number one, the law is perfect. That is why imperfect men cannot keep it. The law is holy. That is why sinners are condemned by it. The law is just. That is why it can't show mercy to the guilty. The law prohibits, but grace invites and gives. The law condemns the sinner, but grace redeems the sinner. The law reveals sin, but grace atones for sin. By the law is the knowledge of sin. By grace is the redemption from sin. The law demands obedience. Grace bestows and empowers us to obey. The law says do and do not. Grace says it is done. The law says continue to be holy. Grace says it is finished. The law curses, grace blesses. The law makes a slave of the sinner, grace makes the sinner free and alive. The law shuts every mouth before God, grace opens every mouth to praise God. The law condemns the best man, grace saves the worst man. The law says, pay what you owe, grace says, I freely forgive you all. The law says that the wages of sin is death, grace says that the gift of God is eternal life. The law says that the soul that sins will die. Grace says, believe and live. The law is done away with in Christ. Grace abides forever. The law puts us under bondage. Grace sets us at liberty. The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? That's what we have inherited in Christ Jesus. Victory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I encourage you today. We went through that because in 35 minutes, can't really study it all in depth. But I encourage you, keep studying. Sit before God. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you. Go from this place in Scripture that addresses it to this place in Scripture and pray over it and study it and sit down with people and digest it, because it will make us free. Let's stand together and let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the truth and the reality of the gospel message. It's the gospel, the good news message through Christ Jesus that you have given to us. May we dive in as into the water of a swimming pool. May we dive into this truth of grace and the power of choice and victory that is found. May we live our lives submerged in that truth. We just love you and thank you, Jesus, once again for doing it for us.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the Word.